In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One symbol for Jesus you commonly find in Christian art is the pelican. In medieval Europe, people believed that when food was scarce, mother pelicans would pierce their own flesh and feed their own blood to their pelican chicks. With such vivid imagery, obvious links were drawn to Jesus' sacrificial love and his own blood being poured out for our nourishment. It was a relatable image, and many artists included the pelican as a symbol for Christ for sacred art, fabric, and architecture. The King James Bible was printed in 1611, and to pacify the Puritans in the Church of England, it was published without illustrations, except for two title pages. The first title page at the bottom includes a pelican piercing her breast and feeding five pelican chicks. So yes, even Puritans approved of the pelican as a symbol of Christ. We know today, however, that pelicans don't actually do this. It was in fact the red-billed Dalmatian pelican who would frequently nuzzle the bill in its breast that sparked the idea that it would feed its children blood. While inaccurate for the animal kingdom, it still works as a symbol for God's kingdom. But there is another, perhaps less known fact about pelican behavior that continues and carries that symbol of Christ as our mother nourishing us with her body and blood, and us as her children. In acts of fratricide, the strongest chick, about 80% of the time, rolls the other eggs out of the nest or pecks its siblings to death, only looking out for itself. In our gospel reading from John, we find ourselves back at Jesus' Last Supper with the disciples. He has eaten with them and he has washed their feet. And he has also predicted that Judas would betray him. Our reading today begins just after Judas leaves, and Jesus knows things will start getting bad very soon. As John records it over the three chapters that follow, Jesus continued teaching his disciples and praying for them. He wants them to know all the important things to remember, and the very first thing he reminds them is to have love for one another. He says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I loved you, and also you should have love for one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We are to love each other with the love that Jesus has for each of us. In his self-sacrifice on the cross for us, Jesus shows us that we are defined not by the worst of our sins, but rather by Jesus' abiding, unending, unquenchable love for us. The way we treat each other matters to Jesus. This new commandment is a new way of living and a new way of being. It's living life in a way that is different from the way that the world promises us is in our best interest. This new pattern of life stands in opposition to the world, which teaches us to watch out only for ourselves and to knock others down to raise ourselves up. This new pattern of living that Jesus gives is teaching us not to push our brothers and sisters out of the nest. This new pattern teaches us to make sacrifices of our own comfort and out of our abundance, and simultaneously gives us permission to ask for help when we need it. And this new pattern isn't an invitation to take if we feel like it. It's a command from the one whom we proclaim as Savior and Lord. And Jesus says that our behavior in loving one another is how others will recognize us as his followers. It is how we, his followers, how we also testify his love for us. Others will know we are his if we imitate his love and share his good news. Have you ever sewn something from a pattern or watched someone else do it? Whether it's using a pattern for a particular piece of clothing or a pattern to create something beautiful from cross stitch, needlepoint, or the weaving of a tapestry or rug or quilt, the pattern produces an outcome. Each stitch, in and out, over and under, is integral to the desired outcome. In Jesus's new commandment, he is giving us a new pattern to follow. It is his vision for his Easter people. He's asking us to catch his vision and to share his glory. He is asking us to pattern our behavior on his self-emptying love so that the world may know and that the world may come to believe. The first lesson we heard today from Acts tells us a bit about who this new pattern is for. It answers questions about who is included in the design. After Peter shares his vision, the circumcised believers fall silent, and they rejoice that God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. So you see, this pattern for living isn't just for the circumcised believers, it's for everyone. It is the Spirit who tells Peter to make no distinction between us and them. Making distinction between us and them is the world's favorite design. But Jesus' pattern is one without distinction between us and them, because to Jesus, we are all one in him. As our reading from Acts tells us that indeed everyone is included in the design, a new question then emerges. What will Jesus' grand design and masterwork look like when it is finished? See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away, because the Alpha and the Omega makes all things new. The fabric of our world is torn, just like the temple veil at the crucifixion. And in this broken world, we can easily be tempted to think that love doesn't win. Love is rarely practical, and its power is found in weakness. How can weakness triumph over practicality? Following Jesus is anything but practical. Believing in Jesus' resurrection from the dead and rising to life again is anything but practical. And that is the whole point. We are not a practical people. We are an Easter people who together as the church know and believe with a single uplifted heart that death and practicality don't have the final word. God's vision for this tapestry of new life is brought to fruition one stitch at a time. Sometimes we make a mistake. Sometimes we drop stitches. Sometimes others scissors over our carefully stitched areas, and we just have to keep stitching away. We may be tempted to think that the work we do doesn't matter, and we'd be wrong. So which pattern will we follow? Will our pattern be one of self-service, envy, and malice that follows the old pattern? Or will our pattern be the one that sews part of the banner that spells out God is love? Every stitch counts, and every stitch reveals God's grand design. Every stitch sewn in Jesus' love tightens the fabric of God's vision for this world. We probably will never see the project completed in our own lifetime, and yet one day, in the fullness of time, it will be unfurled in the peace of Christ, waving forever as a testament to God's love, the Alpha and the Omega, who makes all things new, and we will behold a new heaven and a new earth. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.